three had announced their presence to the sentry system. An air elevator had whisked them up to the 200th floor. The view as they rose was staggering, and they had both stared silently from the clear elevator pod. As Lannery had felt the silvery light of Calamar's three moons purging the stink of the pits from her skin, she had meditated on the Force, cleansing her mind. She would not forget the smells and sounds and the deaths she had witnessed, but she no longer carried them with her.
"Well, it scares the shack out of me," Tree said.
He was standing close to one of the inner walls, back pressed to it, hands splayed flat. His leku were wrapped protectively around his throat. "Thank you for seeing us," Lannery said. "I understand you value your privacy."
"I do," Kara said. "But how could I turn down a request from a Jedi Ranger?"
"Many do," Lannery said.
"The system is filled with fools."
Kara glided across the clear crystal floor of her apartment's huge main room and approached a low table that was adorned with all manner of food and drink.
"Refreshments?"
"Water, please." A droid poured, but Kara brought Lannery her drink. This close, the Ranger saw just how huge the woman was. She was human, but her immense size made her appear like a different, unique species. She rode on a suspension unit that was hidden by her flowing robe. She was bald, as if her head had outgrown her hair, and where her robe parted, Lannery saw rolls of heavy flab and pale skin. There was a perfume to her that was not unpleasant, but beneath that was her own natural stench. Her arms had been artificially lengthened so that they could reach around her girth. Her face was so bloated that her eyes seemed to stare at each other. But however freakish she appeared, Lannery knew that she could not underestimate Kara for one moment. Handing the drink to Lannery, Kara held on for just a moment too long, staring into the Ranger's eyes. "What?" Lannery asked.
"A Jedi so pure," Kara breathed. "Forgive me, it's been years."
Those enigmatic words hanging in the air behind her, she floated back to the table and started eating. Lannery took a sip to steady her nerves, looking down at her feet as she swallowed. This large main room of the apartment was cantilevered over the top of the high tower, and its floor was composed of a thin, incredibly clear crystal. It gave the impression of standing on air, and at midnight the view below was staggering. Lights shifted and moved on the ground below, passing along the network of streets and squares surrounding the immense structure. And closer to the floor's underside, the flashing nav beacons of small cloud cruisers and other craft darted back and forth around the tower. Lannery glanced at Tree. He was still at the edge of the room, trying his best not to look down. But he was also close to the door. She thought perhaps it was not only fear that kept him there, but caution. And for the first time, she was grateful for his presence.
"You'll know why I'm here," Lannery said.
"I will?"
"My reasons already seem more widely known than I'd like."
"Ah, yes. I heard about the attempt on your life."
"Is that what it was?" Lannery asked.
"A Nogri assassin explodes himself close to you? What else could it be?"
"Unwillingness to be caught," Lannery thought. But she did not reply.
"Yet you have me at a disadvantage. I never leave here. I exist for myself and by myself."
"I'm sure you have a long reach," Lannery said. She saw Tree breaking a smile behind Kara, but kept her own expression neutral.
"I make provisions to know what I need to know," Kara said.
She laughed softly.
"I'm very, very rich. My businesses run themselves, but I still feed off information. It's my obsession, and the only true universal currency."
"Stargazers," Lannery said. She watched for any reaction, but other than a slight pause before replying, Kara gave nothing away.
"I know of them. Little to do with me."
"You fund them?"
I donate. They're a charitable cause.
A sect of madmen, Tree said.
Only to those who don't understand.
You'd seek to leave the system? Lannery asked.
You wouldn't?
No. Lannery shook her head, confused. A strange question. This is home. Kara stared at her, and for an instant Lannery felt something strange, as if an outside consciousness were scratching at the wall of her mind. Then the feeling was gone. But she tried to grab hold of it, analyze. It was like nothing she had ever felt before.
Have you ever been to Fury's Gate?
No, Lannery said.
I have, Kara said. Many years ago, before I became like this, I was quite a traveler. It's a minimum of 300 days to reach that small planet, and not many make the journey. There's really no reason to go there. But I felt the need, the urge to push my boundaries. I've always felt that way, and I've done so physically as well as mentally. Even my appearance is a product of that urge. I spent 20 days there at Fury Station, and most of the time I simply looked out into the deep core. Out beyond anything anyone in the Titan system knows. I wanted to see the glimmer of a sleeper ship returning. One of those craft sent out over the millennia to return to the wider galaxy. I wanted to travel onward myself, but knew that death would likely be the result. But even since turning my back on Fury Station and returning here, I have continued to look outward.
Gazing at the stars, Lannery said. And she remembered so much about her young brother. His anger that their ancestors had been brought to Tython. His wishes. His interests. They had never been her own. And yet, there had always been that place inside her. The troubling presence of dark and light, dancing their own fight.
I'm not ashamed of it, Kara said. Many in the system look outward. Most only in their dreams, because day-to-day life doesn't allow otherwise. But me, I'm rich. I can invest.
So you give the stargazers money to seek a way to leave? Kara shrugged, and her immense body shivered and shook with waves of flab. You know my brother.
Brother?
Her confusion seemed genuine.